So we've got Chris speaking to us now. I think, yep, he's wandered off. So I'll just pray for Chris as we start. Lord, just thank you so much for Chris. I pray that this morning you would speak through him. You would take all the material that he's prepared and breathe your life, and Holy Spirit, you would just speak to our hearts and our minds through what he says. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Emma. This is going to be quite brief, actually, maybe like 10 or 15 minutes, because I want us to have time to worship and pray. But this is one of our prayer Sundays, and we'd like to share a bit of vision for prayer for us as Hope. So I'm going to share a little bit about the prayer center and the calling on us to be a place and a people of prayer for the city, the greater Bristol area. And then, so a bit of historic and a bit through to current on that. And then I want to share just a story that I've been inspired by in the last few days. And then I'm going to tell us about our prayer day coming up for this Tuesday through to Wednesday. And then off the back of that theme, we'll pray as we worship. So that's the plan for the next few minutes. I thought the phrase that I've had in my mind as a sort of theme for this is the sort of what tagline or a catchline is like a life bathed in prayer. And thinking that nowadays, modern society where we have showers and baths and soap and stuff, the idea is that we all smell decent, isn't it, all the time? And that's that, you know, it's not the case for everybody, but that's the ideal, is that we smell fresh, we're well bathed. And I thought we could carry that image through in terms of our life of prayer. You know, we'd like, as followers of Jesus, our calling is to live lives that are well washed, you know, cleansed regularly, bathed in prayer. So maybe have that as a little strap line for this message. And so I'm going to start off with saying a bit about the calling on Hope to be a prayer center for the city. Oh, and when I say the city, I know there's people in Hope who live in Nailsea, Backwell, Clevedon, Portishead, you know, greater and further down the different roads. And so I think I use that phrase, but I think it's really the greater Bristol area. And actually, we had a Korean prayer team with us here in July, and they were saying they don't think our calling is just to be a prayer center for the city, but it's for the world as well. So don't think of that as an exclusive. If you're not within a BS8 postcode or BS, you know, that doesn't count or something like that. But the calling on Hope Chapel, so this is a 50-year-old church building that died out really as a church in the 1960s, was rescued by the local community in the 70s to prevent it from being demolished. And then in 1999-2000, Silas and Annie Crawley and a group of others were looking for a place to pray. They sensed a calling to start a prayer center for the city. And were basically offered this building to host a prayer center for Bristol. And the church kind of grew alongside. So that really began in the year 2000. And this the prayer center up there, that whole, the back end of the building is designed to be available 24/7 to facilitate churches, Christians in the city coming to pray. And so as members of Hope, you're welcome to use this space anytime to come and pray. That's it's the resource for us for prayer. And it'd be worth recording, actually, some of the stories that Silas has got about how people brought these quite profound prophetic words, saying there's a calling on you. Well, I think one time he was in prison, and I think, was it a Ugandan man came to him and said, there's a calling on you to build a 24/7 prayer center for your city. This man didn't know him at all, but there were a number of these extraordinary moments that precipitated the start of Hope Chapel being a prayer center. And then that calling was then recognized by other churches in the city. Silas and Annie went to other churches and said, are you happy for us to do this? Do we have your blessing? And the answer was a yes. So over those years, over these past 25 years, a whole range of things have happened in the life of the prayer centre here and the city of Bristol, including seasons of hosting ongoing prayer for periods of time, including some of the notable things that I remember. We hired out Ashton Gate Football Stadium, and Hope kind of led the way in that happening as 5,000 or so people, Christians, gathered in the Atio stand mostly, I think it was, to pray for the city, and in the South stand as well. It was that was a significant event, and then other events in the centre of the city around Castle Park, gathering Christians around Bristol to pray. And then there's been multiple Korean teams that have been hosted here as people coming to pray for the city of Bristol. Then there was the Living Free course, which many of you will have been part of. And that really was a particularly the prayer of original design and freedom prayer, particularly the prayer within Living Free, was a significant contribution to the city. And we had students, it was quite embarrassing actually, because there were students studying to be vicars at Trinity College who would come and do Living Free and say, oh, this is the best thing I've learnt in my 3 years at Trinity College, in terms of equipping me to be a church leader. But a lot of people in the city have experienced Living Free and found freedom through the prayer lifestyle that's taught. Other more recent events would be, we spearheaded this day of prayer and fasting for knife crime. I think that was in 2023, and again the city came together, church and city came together, and we saw this. There'd been an escalating time and a real sort of higher level of normal knife crime in the city, which changed and reduced. Not hasn't gone completely, but when the church of the city came together in a day of prayer and fasting, and then a more recent event. So we led the way in a Pentecost gathering of the churches in the city, and we prayed in Canon's House as a gathered church of Bristol this May. So this is some of our life of prayer as a church, and I wanted to kind of pass on some of what's going on with across churches in the city. So there's a network called Churches Together in Bristol, or Together for Bristol, which is the kind of Churches Together network, and it's probably got a bit tired over the last few years and hasn't really been motoring along. So they've actually asked me to kind of spearhead a bit of a redesign of how churches in Bristol collaborate and partner together. And so a couple of weeks ago, Julia came with me as well, and eight of us as Bristol church leaders, and Andy Streets, you might know him as well, went up to Liverpool to a conference working on how can we as a church in the city collaborate together to bring the life and flourishing of Jesus to Bristol. And we're working on redesigning Together for Bristol in five areas. The idea is we have five kind of teams made up from across the Christian community in Bristol. And those five areas are what was the first one? The first one is city-wide prayer, establishing city-wide prayer. I'll come back to that in a minute. Second one is serving the city, so really sort of acts of justice, social justice projects. Third one is making disciples. Fourth one is church planting strategies. And the fifth one is leader health. And what we're doing is we're basically restructuring how we do things together as churches in Bristol around those five areas, so that we have different teams, different churches together leading in those different areas. And we had a particular focus a couple of weeks ago on church planting. It's not a particular strength of ours or focus of ours at Hope, so we're not particularly hands-on with that. But other churches that are big on church planting are starting to collaborate around mapping the city of Bristol. Where are there areas that have gaps, haven't got, you know, dynamic churches that people can go to within a short walk? And then who is well-positioned as a church to plant a new church into that space? So this is a new level of collaboration. And then, but what we're leading on as Hope is that prayer arm. And we've been asked to kind of spearhead that citywide prayer initiatives. And so recent events have been, like I say, the Pentecost gathering. What are we in now? We're in November 2025, aren't we? That's where we are. January this year, we had a week of prayer and fasting, didn't we? Which we found a really exciting experience as a church. So just wondering, and then there's also been these gather events. There was one which we had at St. Nick's Church. Again, it was a kind of city coming together to pray. Was that in March this year? Can't exactly remember when it was, but there were probably 500 or so people. 400 or 500 people came to pray for the city. So thinking that what does citywide prayer look like? It probably looks like organising, a sort of punctuating a rhythm of events like that, gathering together as a city to pray. Wondering if that week of prayer and fasting in January time, already the Woodlands group of churches do the similar thing at that sort of time. And a lot of other churches have that beginning of the year as a time of praying and fasting. So I wonder whether we could suggest to churches that this is a citywide thing we do. We have a season of praying and fasting as the Church of Bristol. So I really wanted to share, these are fairly early stages, but wanted to share with you that is some of what's going on. And we, as Hope, have a significant role to play in that. So that's it's an exciting development for the city. And one of the things that was clear at this conference and since. In fact, as a pastor team, we had some time with a wonderful lady called Liz Evans a couple of weeks ago. She's a prophetic lady who came and spent, who I greatly respect and have learnt a lot from. She came and spent some time with Alice and myself and Charlie and Micah and Meredith two Wednesdays ago. And we asked her to bring some prophetic insight to Hope and to us as individuals. And one of the things that she said for Bristol was that because of the prayer in the city, the land is fertile and ready, and the spiritual power from Hope is ready to go. Now's the time for people to become established around the city so that they get firmly established in this fertile season. I think what's clear is that there's a really healthy level of friendship and collaboration and partnership across the different churches in the city. And we realise, I'm only really in Bristol, I don't really know what's going on in the rest of the country, but apparently it's unusual, and it's an unusual level of partnership and collaboration. And it feels like actually we can get things done quite fast. So again, that's quite an exciting thing. An exciting time, an exciting thing. So, a little bit there on what's going on citywide, and really, this is for us to be part of as a whole church, and exactly what that looks like. Don't know the details really just yet, but want to share that with you. I'd like to flip a little bit now into an encouraging story. I've been reading this book, Lead with Prayer, by Ryan Skoog, Peter Greer, Cameron Doolittle. Interesting names these guys have got. But I've been finding it encouraging. And there's a story that I'd like to read to us from here, thinking, going back to that strapline of lives that are bathed in prayer, lives that are soaked in prayer, and what impact does that have? So this is a story of from Rwanda, and it's a couple of pages long, and I'm going to read it to us. Financial institutions have played a pivotal role in Rwanda's recovery from the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi, in which an estimated 10% of the population was brutally killed over a span of 100 days. As the nation began to rebuild, microfinance institutions helped restore trust among community members and brought financial stability to more families. But in 2017, Christine Bainagana inherited an unenviable role when she took leadership of Owego, a microfinance institution designed to provide investments to those typically underserved and unreached by Rwanda's former financial sector. Despite the bank's noble objectives, it was losing money, facing legal challenges, and confronting low staff morale. Owego's leaders created a 3-year plan to address these challenges, but faced one setback after another. Then COVID hit, and a five-month countrywide lockdown dramatically impacted all areas of Awego's performance and operations. Rwandans were unable to work, so many people were thrown back into extreme poverty amid this pandemic, Christine lamented. As families were impacted, the organisation was too. Awego faced massive write-offs as borrowers who could not generate income could not repay their loans. Losses mounted, challenges escalated, they'd run out of ideas. And at this moment of desperation, Christine shares, that's when the prayer warriors came. Because financial institutions were essential services, Awego staff were still permitted to gather at the office. One day, a small group of long-serving staff members came to Christine, declaring, we have something to say. They were aware of the seemingly unsurmountable plan for Christine, unsurmountable challenges facing the organization, and in response, they presented a plan for Christine's consideration. They wanted the entire staff to come together for 3 days of prayer and fasting. Christine agreed. As a team began praying, they did so on their knees. We got our mats out, Christine remembers. Kneeling is not the place for casual prayers, and they knew their desperation. Together, they spent 3 days fasting and praying. They prayed over every meeting, decision, and activity, surrendering every action to God. As Christine and the team invited God to work in Awego's day-to-day operations, the impact was dramatic. They felt God's confirmation of the challenges of the work they were pursuing and his encouragement to press on. Still, the challenges continued as Rwanda reinstated lockdowns. Encouraged and emboldened by the impact of their collective fasting and prayer, the group of colleagues returned to Christine. We prayed for 3 days. We were profitable for 5 months. How about we pray for a month? Beginning in February 2021, a department, branch, or team fasted and prayed each of the 28 days of the month. In July, they decided to incorporate praise and thanksgiving, even though they were once again facing lockdowns. Awego set aside the 31 days of August to praise and to thank God. Each day, a branch, a team, or department led the charge, with Awego's executive team beginning on the first day of the month and closing on the last day of the month. Prayer has become Awego's North Star, and kneeling prayer has become a part of Awego's story and their regular rhythm of operations. Every February, they've committed to a month of prayer and fasting, followed by a month of thanksgiving each August. Christine shared, when we prayed, when we waited upon the Lord, when we listened, God showed up. God showed us gaps, brought the right people to our team, showed us which products to stop and which to introduce. Awego's turnaround was so significant that Christine was recognized as one of top 10 female bankers in Africa. The momentum she had led carried Awego through the most challenging operating environments in recent history, wrote Kenyon Wall Street. But Christine humbly credits something else, God's faithful response to Awego's prayers. The turnaround didn't come out of strategy, God did it, especially during the pandemic. I learned how to be fervent and persistent in prayer and how to trust God, Christine says. As a leader, you don't depend on your own understanding. You trust in the Lord in all your ways and you depend on him. I am one of those students of prayer. Christine and the team she leads at Awego encountered God in prayer and the realities of his presence left them longing for more. For Awego, prayer continues. But also, as a member of the Hope International Network, they're making a global impact. The practices and posture of prayer modelled by Christine and the Awego team have been adopted by other entities and institutions throughout Africa, Asia, Latin America, and Eastern Europe. Paradoxically, as Awego staff drew near to the Father in humble, desperate dependence, it was falling to their knees in prayer that brought the team to their feet. I think that's a cool story, and it resonates with my own experience of prayer is this lifestyle of bathing ourselves in God in such a way that we smell good and that life works, that there's a fluency and a fruitfulness to our lives. So my final section now before we come to worship is love to just tell us about this coming prayer day. So our current rhythm as a church of praying together is that we have the first Tuesday of each month, we have a day of prayer as a church. Expecting to have a season of a week of prayer and fasting in January time again as per last year. I'm always wondering how else can we build and bake more prayer into our rhythms. I'm keen that our Sunday evening church meetings, when we have those, there's quite a lot of prayer built into those. I'm personally just looking to bathe more prayer into throughout my day and the interactions that I have. The first Tuesday of the month is a sort of main calendar for us, and so this coming Tuesday, this is our theme for the month. The verse is from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and to do good works that God has prepared for us to do. It's an extraordinary thing that God has prepared for each of us, good works to do in advance. And so one of the things I'd love us to be doing as we worship shortly is asking God, what are the good works that you've got for me? It might be that you know what they are in your daily life. And it's a case of praying into those areas. Also, what are the good works that you've got for us to do as a whole church, together as community? So that's our theme for the day. And I'd love to just take us through this. Emma mentioned these briefly, but I'd love to mention the kind of gathered prayer time. So, this is a theme that we can be praying on through the day. And I'll come on to the next page shortly where we've got some specific prayer points. But I wanted to just sketch out the different prayer times that we have. So we start at 6:30. Simon and Becca host a prayer for youth. That's on Zoom, you'll be pleased to know. 6:30 till 7:15. And then 7:15 to 7:45, I'm hosting a time which is really praying into this theme. It's half an hour. I think it was just me on my own last month. So these aren't always big numbers of people. But please ask God, what is it that you can be part of this time? So that's really sort of praying the theme for the day. And then Alice and Emma host a praying for the world. And then Silas hosts from 10 till 3 here with lunch as well. Wonderful time of gathered, extended time of worship, wonderful time of worship and a time of prayer. They meet every Tuesday on Zoom. Marilyn's part of that group as well. But once a month on this Tuesday, they come and are in person here. Esther is going to be walking around the harbour praying for our boats, 12 o'clock. Ruth, are you on this Tuesday? What time are you going to go for? Great. So 4 till 5, Ruth is praying is Now Words. If you have any specific requests for Ruth, do speak to her and ask her to be praying specifically for you. We have a community supper here at 5:30. We have a lovely long table out, and we have, there's often about 20 or so people. It's great to spend time in food together. And I'm quite keen that we bake some more prayer into that around the table time. And then Malcolm hosts Renew, happens every Tuesday at his house in Westbury, and then particularly prays into the theme for the day on these. And then the next day, so this is on the Wednesday, Organic Worship from 7 till 9, hosted by Julia and team. And that's been going now for many years as really a time of worshipping and praying over the city. So these are the lead slots that we have, the hosted prayer times through prayer day. So I encourage you to look at those times and just sort of prayerfully consider, what can it look like for me to press into this day of prayer? Are there any of these that you can join and be part of, and go for it? And our prayer points, I've put in these, put together these prayer points. First one, praying for our own good works, asking God what he has for us to do and praying into those areas. So we really recognize the design, the purpose, the calling on individuals and on communities within Hope to bring God's life to the city in different ways. So that's it. That's the prayer point there, is praying into those specific things. What have you got for us as individuals, as small communities? And then two prayer points here for us as a whole church. A particular focus for us is this stitching the city together, overcoming the division of race and class in Bristol. And our partnership with God's House Church is a strategic part of that. We're going to have a joint service together with them, actually, first Sunday in December. We're all going to go over to God's House for church on the Sunday morning, first Sunday in December. And then we're also talking with them and planning a trip to Botswana next year. So looking at that in August. So these are all things lovely to be praying about and considering. Strategic partnership as part of overcoming some of the barriers of race and class in Bristol. And then we're also on this journey with the Trinitarian faith course that Paul and Grace are taking us through, asking the questions of what more can I understand and how more can I come to know Father, Son and Holy Spirit, and that will change the way we live as we experience the fuller love and knowledge of God. So there's some prayer points for us. So I want to share that with you, ready for this coming Tuesday. And we're going to move now, for the last 20 minutes or so, into a time of worship. And really great to have Julia and Sam leading us. And we're going to just start as a time just to worship Jesus. But then as we go through, I encourage you to be asking God, what are the good works that you have for me to do? Maybe you're already really clear what they are. You know, you're really clear what that is. In which case, just ask God to speak into it some more. What do you say about this? My day job or my ministry or my calling. And then also to be asking God about that same question for us as a church. And we'd love to share. Emma's going to host, sharing some of those on the microphone, words that God has for us about the good works that God has for us as a church. So, I'm going to pray, and then let's move into worship together. Jesus, it's an amazing privilege to know you. It's the most wonderful and life-transforming thing to know you, to know your love, to hear your voice. And we find hope and purpose and fulfillment and in you. And we're really grateful for the work in our lives of you. Alice was quoting from having read Mere Christianity last week by C.S. Lewis. There's a bit, he quotes George MacDonald in there, and I can't remember the exact words, but in essence says something to the effect of, when we give our life over to God and invite him to come and have control and lead us, we notice that we expect an upgrade in certain areas that we knew were dysfunctional. We need there's some leaky plumbing or some faulty electrics, and we're aware of that dysfunction in our lives, and we see him attending to those. But then we also, over time, notice that he seems to be knocking down structural walls and doing much more fundamental works on the house that is our lives. And the quote goes on to say that he's not just patching up a little cottage, but he's building us into a palace that is fit to be the home for the king. So Jesus, I want to say that on behalf of us as individuals and on behalf of us as a church. We welcome you into our lives. Build us into people that are palaces fit for you as the king of the universe to live and dwell and be seen. And likewise for us as Hope Chapel, as a community, as a church, we invite you in. We want you to build us into this palace that hosts the presence of God and brings the life of Jesus to the city. That's what we're all about. Everything is for that aim, for that purpose. So we worship you now. We give you our lives. Come and speak to us. Come and build your kingdom, build your palace. Amen.
Just as we're in an attitude of worship in God's presence, we just take a minute to ask him, Lord, is there anything that you want to share with us about a Hope's role in the city moving forward? And you may have sensed something as we're worshipping, or you may sense something just now in this time. And if you do, it'd be great if you could come and share it for our encouragement.
I just had this image of a paperclip. It's just like getting the sense that it's like created to hold things together, but it's like just about barely doing it. But then somehow, like by the power of God, this paperclip is like it's being stretched open, and it becomes a lockpick. And it's just the right size. It's not something that you would expect, but it picks open a lock and it opens something.
Picture, but was just having the image of water flowing from this place, and just thinking with the journey we're all on, the course we're doing together, that spirit, that water, that life, the dynamic spirit moves to displace anything that is rigid and holding us back, holding the city back. I just sense that the journey we're on in it's the ITTF, I haven't got any brain at the moment, but that we have a part in unleashing that water, that spirit to the city, and that it gently dislodges things that are obstacles. So bless us in that.
This is a real encouragement that so Hope's newsletter maybe a few weeks ago had something called Table UK on, which is what they do is they just invite anyone Gen Z 18 to 30s to a table in a restaurant, and there's a Christian host, and people just talk about people of faith, no faith, just talk about things spiritual. And this has been planted in many cities, and they've got some resources to plant it in Bristol. But I think what's really encouraging, and if anyone wants to talk to me about it, an 18 to 30 year old, what's really encouraging is they've got 250 people lined up to do it, want to do it. But the thing is, they're looking for, what do you call it, workers in the harvest. But the harvest, he said, he's got people there. So it's really encouraging. Oh, and there's one on Friday at 7 o'clock in Gloucester Road already.
I'm just going to sing a little song. So I felt like God was singing it over the city. I feel like there's a sound that's rising up that's age old. Keep playing, Sam.
There's a rumbling sound. Can you hear it? There's an age-old noise. Hear it rising now. It's the Father's heart saying, oh, I want to redeem it.
Care if you miss.
of people crying out in this city, and I thank you that you're still listening to their prayers. You're still listening to people that have gone before us, and you still care about every single prayer that was prayed over this city. And I thank you that we can join our voices with hundreds and thousands of people that have gone before in this place, and our heart cries the same, God, redeem it. Redeem all the mess and all the crap that's in this city. Thank you, God, that you see it and you're not a blind father. You care. So I pray that Bristol would learn to bring all their messiness to you, because you're a father who runs and you listen.
Hope is to work out through its life a ministry of reconciliation in all areas, wherever that reconciliation needs to be in Bristol, between families, friends, people and their idea of God, people and their experience of God, church, past experiences of religion, past pain and experience, that we are to encourage, facilitate reconciliation.
Thank you for those words. And I felt as we were worshipping, Lord, remind me of the words in Joel 2 about dreaming dreams and seeing visions, and conscious that I see in myself a tendency to be skeptical towards visions, and I don't know that I dream as much as I used to when I was younger, and maybe I haven't got time for it in the same way. But dreams and visions can seem quite, you can easily be cynical about them, can't you? And they can be dismissed as woolly, slightly vague things. But I feel like God's encouraging us to dream of what Bristol could be, have visions, listen to visions about what it could look like, and conscious of over time the power of a life lived with Jesus is massive. And it happens, like Louis was saying, in the small moments of reconciliation in a workplace, in one relationship. This is the power of the church, the salt, the yeast, the working of God. It's in everyday, just a kind interaction with someone can be a moment of reconciliation, right through to more dramatic moments of Alice has been invited to number 10 to speak into, along with Marvin in a few weeks' time. And so these bigger moments of being involved in strategic nationwide conversations. This is the opportunity, this is the power of the church. It's both in the everyday micro moments and in the big. So I want to encourage you as Hope to have dreams, to have visions. What could, maybe let's start a, I might start a board up in the prayer centre of what Bristol could be. And, you know, let's write up there, what could Bristol be? What could the future be? Let's ask God to prophetically give us inspiration of what a redeemed Bristol could look like. So as we close, and in a minute's time, parents will need to go and collect children. But again, I want to pray. Lord, again, we're just grateful for that you've placed us here in such a time as this. It says in Romans that you've designed the exact times and places where people should live. You've chosen the time, you've chosen that we would be here now, in this place now, and we have the extraordinary privilege of knowing you and having you in us now. So we say, use us in those moments of reconciliation. Use us in the big picture. Give us dreams and give us visions of what could be, what can be in Christ. And may we see those come to pass in our city. May your kingdom come on earth, Lord Jesus, in Bristol, in greater Bristol area, as it is in heaven. We love you. We worship you. Again, we say, build your house. Build this palace that's fit for the King of Kings to live in.